Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter, and I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
Howdy, 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 howdy everyone. Welcome to the Texas Podcast. We are blessed by the presence of none other than Mike Gonzalez. This is our second person to do the Texas Podcast twice. Mike, thank you for making the time to come hang out with us.
Podcast is going a whole lot more handsome.
Let's give everyone, since last we spoke, and more specifically the last like 2 months, you have been in South America.
Central America.
Yeah, right. With Tina Chavez.
That's right.
And then you've been in the PNW.
Yeah.
Pacific Northwest with Tina Chavez.
Yeah.
And then you literally landed at the mothership yesterday for Kill Tony.
Yep.
How much have you slept in the last 2 months?
In the last 2 months, probably 24 hours. Maybe.
Gosh.
All day.
Yeah.
But last night, so yesterday, we flew back from, we were in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
Sunday. I guess yesterday's Monday. Sunday, we were in Eugene, Oregon. We woke up at 4 a.m. Western time.
Yeah.
Got on a plane at 6. Flew all the way here, got home. Well, got landed at the airport at 3.
Yeah.
We were texting on the way.
Yeah.
I got home. I got home like around 3:45.
Yeah. Did you even see Anna, or you just sort of?
Dude, I haven't seen her.
Are you serious?
She's been babysitting since Friday night.
Wow. Not your baby, by the way.
Right.
You haven't had a child since we last.
Not yet. No, we're actually
quick gestation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're actually getting married this year in September.
I know, man. Let's go.
September.
Colorado wedding, right?
Estes Park. That's right.
Let's go.
Yeah. So I get home. It's 4 o'clock. I have to be at the mothership at 4:30.
Yeah.
Clearly not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
I hadn't showered in over 24 hours. So I was like, I'm going to take a 30-minute shower just for myself.
Yeah. Just as myself.
Yeah. Just for me, because I smell like
dude. You are busy when hygiene is self-care.
Absolutely. At that one point, I was like, dude, I don't care about anybody else. I got to wash my ass.
What if you were just weeping on stage at Kill Tony because you haven't showered?
Just smelled so bad. It's like the SpongeBob.
It's wafting.
It's the SpongeBob episode where he's walking around with bad breath. And Patrick's the only one that doesn't know because he doesn't have any nostrils. That would have been me last night.
Nice.
Anyway, so I took a 30-minute shower. I take off from my spot, go grab my drums at the shed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that took 30 minutes. And I land at the mothership at 5 p.m.
Jeez.
Everything's going crazy. Like it's a new
club. It's got a lot of energy.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. You know, everybody's kind of like on edge. Like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
All
well,
this
it's
stuff.
The first Kill Tony.
They're still working out kinks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think besides all of everything that happened before the show.
Yeah.
The show went well. Like it was awesome.
We had a blast. Heck yeah.
Love it.
Well, it was cool.
Because we were texting about, this is the first Kill Tony in the mothership.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we were texting about the logistics of like, we don't know if the drums are going to fit on the stage.
Well, that's like, okay. So that was a thing in itself. So it's a completely new arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on, as you'll see in 2 weeks when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
All the comedians are on stage and it looks like the Comedy Store.
Okay.
So it has this kind of oval in the front.
Yeah.
And the table is so, it's like an 8-foot table. So it's so long, we can't even fit anywhere near them.
Oh, right. Wow.
So off to the side, there's a walkway that goes to the corner.
Okay.
It goes like an L shape and it comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
So they put us on that L shape
on
just
the ground,
long-wise.
Basically, right?
But it's not on the ground. So this is what they did. So it's kind of like Jimmy Fallon and the Roots.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The Roots are across from them.
And they're on a riser, right?
So
they put
us on risers. But funny enough, when we walked in, my riser was 3 feet tall and everybody else's was 2. So I was like,
And were you like, is this a short joke? What the?
Come on, guys.
If it was, I'd be like, well, cool. I'm taller than everybody else.
Yeah.
So I'm getting my dream.
Yeah.
But it was kind of unstable and I couldn't fit my drums on the little one.
Okay.
It was like, yo, this is not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. So what we ended up doing is we took the riser off and put it right next to another one. So Matt and I are on the same one.
Like sharing one.
Sharing one big one composed of two. But everybody was raised, I don't know, like 2 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty wild.
Dang.
Yeah.
And how, I mean, like, I want to hear about everything in the last couple of months. So let's reverse engineer.
Cool.
What was it like?
Backtrack a little bit.
First show at the mothership. I mean, you've gone from, didn't y'all start at Antones for Kill Tony?
Yeah. Or? Antones, January 4th, 2021.
So you went from there to Vulcan to
mothership.
To Joe Rogan's mothership.
That's
new
right.
spot. First Kill Tony. What was last night like? What was 8 hours ago like?
Yeah, right. It was pretty surreal, man. Like that, like I said, when walking in at 5 o'clock, everybody was like nervous and trying to get everything set.
Yeah.
It took a little bit. We actually ended up, we probably started 45 minutes after where we usually start.
Sure. But I mean, comedy shows always start on time.
We usually do. That's the thing. We're out at 8:05. Yeah. We're doing the whole pre-show thing. And yesterday we probably didn't start till 8:35 maybe.
Dang.
But it was because, you know, we're trying to get everything set.
Yeah. You want it to sound good.
Absolutely.
From the time you start.
And it did.
Yeah,
I did. I give credit to everybody who was, you know, they've been working hard on this for, I mean, over a year.
Yeah.
You know, specifically, how are we going to set up Kill Tony?
Yeah.
You know?
Heck yeah.
And was it 2 weeks maybe? A week and a half before yesterday, we all went in and talked about what this setup is going to look like. And it, you know, even then it was still like, well, obviously trying to figure out a layout of a show the day of is hard, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. You know, putting the puzzle pieces together, like there was going to be kinks, but it wasn't bad.
Heck
it was great actually for the amount of time that we had and for the musicians. So John and Matt had a South by show right down the street at Empire starting at 7 and we were supposed to start at 8. So there was like
no.
And was there any like maybe don't do that show or is it
No.
I mean, this is our job.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Right. But that's we had let them know is like, yo, this is the first one's gonna be on South by.
Yeah.
Like at the beginning of South by. So just so you know, we're gonna be busy.
Yeah.
It's all the, you know, it happened.
It's
Made
it happened.
Yeah. But yeah, we made it work. But it, you know, I'm pretty sure that was a reason why we started so late.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. There, and also I actually was surprised there were so many people out in front, but at 8 o'clock, only half of the venue was filled. But
really?
I think that's because they opened doors so late.
Gotcha.
And also the crazy thing about how we did this last night is that 189 or 190 comics showed up and put their name in the bucket.
Mm-hmm. What the heck?
And they put them in the alleyway. So they were coming
that's
in from
amazing.
The back.
Yeah.
So when Tony would say their name out of the bucket,
they were having to come all the way from the back.
From the back. It was crazy.
Because where else would they put them? But also, that's hilarious.
I mean, standing out front is one thing.
That's one thing.
But to just be relegated to
the alley.
You should have seen the alley. So when John and Matt finished their set, we were with them. We watched the show. Yeah. We walked back and the alleyway looked f***ing crazy.
Mom.
Yeah,
it was a mob.
Yeah.
All the way. So through the alleyway, all the way around.
And it's just comics, right?
Just comics.
Yeah.
Just the most angry people.
Well, actually, everybody's...
I'm sure it's new and it's South by. Yeah. Everyone's so excited
to
be in the alleyway. Like, I guarantee you 184 people, because was it probably 6 or 7 people got up last night? Like,
dang. Maybe.
So about 185 people texted their mom last night. I'm in the alleyway of Joe Rogan's new club. Like, that's how
Which
big of a deal that is.
The week before, they were in the alleyway of Joe Rogan's club throwing up after
doing it on 6th Street. Yeah, exactly.
And they will be for the rest of the week because it's South by.
What was the Kill Tony South by crowd like? Because, I mean, we've gotten to go a couple times.
Yeah, of course.
Normal Kill Tony is what was a South by Kill Tony like?
I'm not exactly sure because it was the first.
Yeah.
It was the first one. I think, because it was so exclusive, they put those tickets out.
Yeah.
And 6 months immediately.
Of,
yeah.
Dude, 5 minutes. Six months of tickets sold out in 5 minutes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm blessed to even be a part of this whole family, the Kill Tony family, and to hear that the show is loved by so many people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's fucking awesome.
Heck,
it's
yeah.
a dream.
That's it awesome. It is a dream, dude. People were texting me yesterday like, oh, shit, it's the first one. Oh, shit, how you feel?
And we're like, I'm trying to get my crap to the thing. Yeah. Actually, stop texting.
Yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah. Stop texting me. I'm in the shower.
Yeah, right now. This is my time, dude. Let me wash my ass. Please.
Yes, please let me shower really yeah, quick.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm curious, what is it like, because you were with Gina Chavez in the Pacific Northwest,
yeah.
who you kind of started with, well, right? Like, that yeah, was your yeah. first
like big
out gig. Of college yeah. professional gig, right? Yeah,
so check this out. At the airport, so we were on a flight at 4 a.m., right? Our flight, we were on the same plane for three different stops,
mm-hmm. oh, right? Wow. Yeah.
So we first stop in Oakland. It's, I don't know, 7 a.m. now, 6 to 7. It's about an hour flight. Yeah. Then we fly to Santa Ana for another stop, about 30 minutes. So yeah. we get off in Santa Ana. I use the restroom. She uses the restroom. We come back. We're sitting there waiting to get back on the plane. They have their pre-boarders before mm-hmm. they have the people who are already on. I'm at the front of the line with Gina, and I'm looking at the front of the actual line, and I go, Gina, check this out. Look over there. Is that a Renee Zellweger in the front of a Southwest flight?
Out of Santa Ana?
Out of Santa Ana. Mm-hmm. And she goes, she turns around and she goes, oh, that's Renee Zellweger.
Hell yeah.
So she's just standing right there with a guitar on, flying what? To Austin.
For
on
South by.
Southwest.
In Santa Ana. I'm stuck on Santa Ana.
No, for sure. She went to school yeah, at UT. Yeah. We talked about it. But so I'm looking around. I'm like checking everything out. I was yeah. like, well, maybe she's coming for South by. No, she yeah. actually lives here half okay. the time, and she lives in Orange County.
Nice.
But like seeing an Academy Award winner.
Yeah. Yeah.
In our presence.
Yeah.
On our
on,
flight.
On a Southwest flight.
On a Southwest flight yeah. where there's no, you
there's
know,
no assigned seating.
There's no first
there's
class.
No business class. Yeah. There's no first
sure,
class.
Sure. You're boarding first, but like.
So right. is everyone else.
Yeah. So check this out. Like, they start boarding us, and I walk up to her yeah. and it's like, hey, look, I'm a huge fan. I just wanted to tell you. And she's like, oh my God, you're so sweet. She oh. has the most beautiful Southern accent
aww.
In the world.
Are your eyes just like, oh,
like,
oh
well, because I was like, it happens a lot to me. And I was talking to my fiance on the phone, and she's like, dude, you leave it up to you to see every famous right. person wherever you go.
That's awesome.
Man. And I was the only one who noticed. Everybody yeah. was
like,
unless
no one else noticed. Sure.
Well, yeah. everybody else noticed, but they thought she was the main actress from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh yeah.
That chick.
They kind of, dude,
they
honestly,
look
they
look a little
right,
similar.
Right. They look a little
same
bit
surgeon.
Similar.
Yeah.
Mike's a huge Bridget Jones Diary fan.
Yeah. Well, actually, like, what movie were you talking about? Reality Bites.
That's a great.
Yeah, that's
so
a great
movie. She's
that's
in that. Great she's yeah. in that movie. That's Ben yeah. Ben Stiller's directorial debut.
Yeah.
Nerd here, nice.
Dude. Anyways, you're in good company.
Yeah.
True.
So I walk up to her and I say, you know, I didn't want a picture. I didn't want right, anything. Right. I just wanted to say, hey, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Love all your movies.
Book great. All the stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, she was wearing, dude. Okay. So her, you could tell she was kind of trying to be incognito.
Yeah.
She had a UT hat on that was like, you remember in high school, I think you're from Texas. So, a lot of the guys used to cut the front of their bill.
Yeah.
It like was the curve it.
Yeah.
Well, and the move was the fish hook. That was the money clip. Do you remember that?
That
100%.
Your Astros hat.
My Astros hat.
Yeah. You did that.
I had a burnt orange Astros hat.
Love
it was like frayed bill, had the
fish hook.
Had the fish hook.
And that was the move.
I always stole
a $5 bill.
$5
right
bill.
Here.
Like on the inside, so nobody knew.
Go get a right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Get a big gulp from 7-Eleven.
Oh, don't worry, babe. I got your Slurpee.
Yeah. Here you go. That one's on me.
There you go.
Nice.
But so she
UT
was
hat.
She was trying to be incognito, and I knew right away who it was. She's like this small, petite, beautiful woman in real life and so sweet. But, and I looked down at her bag and, you know, she was wearing a Martin guitar case on her back.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I was like, I didn't, you know, I knew she could sing cause she's in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's Anna's favorite movie.
That really? Makes so much sense.
Yeah,
dude,
I can see that.
And I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
makes
yeah.
so much
absolutely.
Sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. She studied musical theater.
Yeah.
So at that time, she was like all about Chicago.
Yeah.
And I told her, you know, once we got off the plane, okay, let me go back. So everybody's walking on the plane. I get on and her and Gina get on at the same time because Gina had to use the restroom. So just serendipitous. They get on at the same time. She tries to actually, so I'm in the very front of the plane. She tries to sit next to me, but her guitar doesn't fit.
Like, doesn't fit?
It doesn't fit in the overhead cabin. So Gina's like, well, actually, maybe you could put it next to my guitar. And it fit perfect. Right.
No way.
Right on top. And her and Gina sat
and just
for two hours and 15 minutes, just hung out with an Academy Award winner.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Dude.
And just super sweet.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm.
And then we get off the plane and we're hanging out. We're going, she says her goodbye. She's like, yo, I'd love to come to a show sometime.
Yeah.
I live here. You know, we'll see what's up. Good luck with South By.
Heck yeah.
Okay, great. So we're coming down the escalator to come grab our bags. She's like a couple steps above me and we take the turn and like 30 people knew who knew she just was like, coming, dude.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Knew she was coming. They had like a Bridget Jones Diary posters.
Yeah, yep, yep.
They had a
Reality Bites poster.
I mean, well, that one well, they didn't.
That would have been
that's the one that she would have signed. It's like,
there it is.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But it was so weird. And they were like, Renee, can you sign? Renee, can you sign? And she got bombarded and her face was like, okay. It was so weird because I'm blessed to be a part of this family now. Yeah. To see other people get bombarded like that and how they react. She was so professional, dude.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, she's a Texan. So
yeah. I mean, but she also, like, you could tell I didn't want to do any of this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like they, you know,
but it's
they came
job.
To the airport.
Yeah.
Dude. And everybody was like, yeah, we're not even from here. It's like a whole South by Southwest thing. We knew you
what
were coming.
The heck?
Yeah.
And Gina and I looked at each other like, should we go save her?
Yeah.
She looked like she was like caught off guard.
Well, I'm sure it was again, like that contrast of you guys have been talking shop. You were very kind and like, I don't want a picture.
So, and she's going
respectful
home.
Like, and she's going home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure she was like, this was such a good moment. And then turns a corner and is like, oh,
dude. Okay. I will say she was so pro about it.
Yeah.
She took the time. No matter if she wanted to or not.
Yeah.
She signed everybody's, you know, whatever they wanted.
Whatever they had.
Dude, some guy was standing out there with a baseball.
Right.
They wanted her to sign a baseball. He was like, yeah, it's for South by Southwest. I don't even live here, but here's my baseball. Like, what?
It's like,
what?
You know, she wasn't in a league of their own, right?
Yeah,
right.
Dude.
That was a different.
That was anyway.
That was Madonna.
Thank you very much.
It was okay.
So there's this interesting thing, right? Just to bounce off this real quick.
Yeah.
With popularity, fame, you know, we're in media, you play drums. There is that risk that you get popular enough, that you get good enough, that enough people like you, that things like that can happen.
Yeah.
And that's part of the job.
Absolutely.
So my question to you is, do you see that happening to you at some point? And how do you think that would go? Like, are you going to be accepting? Are you going to like rail against the popularity? How would you deal with it?
Dude, I have no idea. I think my personality is be like, dude, f*** it, bring it on, let's do it.
Like, let's hang, let's get tacos. Let's,
absolutely. I kind of like the way Bert Kreischer approaches that.
He was last night, absolutely. Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we could say that just yet. But
sorry, put that out. Sorry.
I mean, that's why I haven't, we'll talk about it.
Might be.
No, you're good. You're good. They wanted to make like a surprise.
Yeah.
When does that episode release?
2 weeks.
2 weeks? This will be 3 weeks?
This is 3 weeks.
Okay, yeah. So we're good.
So we're good. Okay.
Yeah. Leave it in.
Don't bleep it.
Leave it in.
Leave it in, Jamie.
I don't even know where I was at. Oh, no. The popularity thing. I kind of like it. You know, this is all new to me.
Yeah.
It, you know, for a little bit there, it kind of took like a weird thing on my mental stuff. You started getting followers and all this shit.
Right.
I felt like I was like, man, as a musician itself, I want to be known as like, he's a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good at what he does. Yeah. And like, he cares about the craft.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I want to be known for, no matter what situation I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started getting all this notoriety, like just a little bit that I've got,
mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, I don't know if I deserve this yet.
Yeah.
Like it was like, you know, it felt like I've had many conversations with Anna about it too. Like one time, I got free pizza at at Home Slice, which is my favorite spot in town.
Well,
it
also as a UT grad, a local musician.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
Like when guys, when
that's
when,
big,
yeah,
from a like,
that's gotta feel good.
That's gotta feel good.
So here's,
but what does it set off? Right.
So, and it didn't really set anything off, but it was more of like a gratitude that some dude recognized me from Kill Tony and paid $60 for my two large pizzas.
That's awesome,
dude. I got in the car and I'm having this conversation with Anna and I'm like low key kind of shaking a little bit and I just start crying because I was like, whoa, this is different. You know, and especially it seems so small that it's like a pizza spot, but it really meant something to me. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, those things aren't small. It's somebody recognized you, respected you, appreciated you,
exactly,
and wanted to give back to you because you had given something of value to them.
Which is crazy because like I I love drums and I love playing drums on a comedy show. And it's like my world that my dad introduced me to both sides. He was a DJ and a huge comedy fan.
He showed you Pryor
Martins, and right? Robin Williams.
It's a good dad.
Dude.
I was just talking to him on the way up here. So having those both of those worlds collide in what I'm doing now and having people recognize me and get something from that is f-ing huge. And you know, I just want to say thank you and I'm blessed to be a part of that family. So that hit different.
Well, and I also want to say you of all people deserve it. I mean,
wow.
If anybody does.
Like all the three things you listed, you are known for and exude tenfold. And like thank the guy buying you pizza, you deserve it because I'm not just thinking of when Mike's on stage, he's ripping. I'm thinking of in the summer in Texas, Mike is in his shed with no AC.
That's right.
Practicing sets during South By. And when you haven't slept for the last 2 months, you're getting a text. Can you save the day? Because our actual drummer is doing too much coke.
That's which true.
Happens. You're happened going last night. From here to a shed to learn a new set. So clearly, that you playing.
Your boy could use a pizza.
Home two, Slice. Actually. Home Slice, sponsor your boy.
There you go.
Quick, shout out Home Slice. Shout out
also,
Home
another Slice. Quick side note. I would have loved it had you introduced yourself to Renee Zellweger, and her immediate response was, "Are you the drummer from Kill Tony?"
That would have been amazing.
Like, what?
Mike would have just passed out.
That would have been sick.
Heck, hit the floor.
Quick kind of pivot. How was Central America? Because it was warm. with Gina.
Yeah,
the sets you were playing were atrocious. Like the clips you posted of you playing some of the most insane chops I've ever seen.
Oh wow.
Thanks, period, man. Not just from you. And I watch Aaron Gillespie videos all the time.
And Aaron's the man.
It looked like you were like giving back to the community.
Like y'all were doing something. Tell us about that trip. So like, I want to hear about it.
Absolutely.
This.
So that whole trip was put together by the State Department and American Music Abroad, which Gina has been a part of for quite a while. She's done a lot of trips to South America and Central America. This time we went to Honduras. We started in Honduras for about a week, maybe a little over a week. And then, actually may have been longer than that. The whole tour was 18 days.
Yeah.
So it was on,
and it was nonstop. It looked like,
dude, we did something every single day.
Yeah.
Except for we had one day off in Honduras, which we, I'll talk about that. And then, one day off in Costa Rica, which was another adventure on its own. But every day we taught either, kids that of, you know, low income, like whatever community we did, like, you know, songwriting exercises with them. We would do these rhythm exercises. Most of them were actually like going to music school.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was almost just like an encouragement of like, hey, you know, like even though your situation is what it is, like there's a possibility that you can actually do this.
Right. Yeah. Like this is a way to other things.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, with some kids in Honduras, like it's kind of hard, man. It's the violence there. Like we spoke with some kids. It was like a breakdancing community, but they have their own community because if they're not in this, they're out gangbanging because they have
like they're getting pulled in.
They're getting pulled. Yes, absolutely.
They're either going to die doing.
So like some of those kids' friends like had just died a week before, you know,
and these kids are, to be clear, these kids are like 12, 13, like how old are you?
I mean, if that one was all ages, so that was the youngest probably was like 13.
Okay.
And the oldest, the dude who was running, it was probably like 30, like my age.
Sure.
Yeah. So it was awesome to be a part of because the dude who runs it cares so much about these kids and they have their own, like we actually like started playing a tune just, you know, just kind of improvising over like a funk thing, like a James Brown thing. Mm-hmm. And every one of those kids came up and showcased what they can do.
Set, oh, that's cool. Basically.
Yeah. And it wasn't even their set, but it was almost like their improv of like stuff improv that they've movement. Been doing. Yeah. Yeah. So it was awesome. Like a B-boy thing. Like we were like playing like a break.
Yeah.
And they're on stage, you know, doing the windmill and it was so cool, dude.
Heck, sounds amazing. And is it hard to keep the beat because you're so impressed, or you're like, are you in a flow?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you can't stop and go, yeah,
right.
Like you
exactly.
Have, yeah,
I got to keep going. And it was so fun, dude. Like seeing them express themselves through their creative art, through hip hop and dancing and stuff like that. And us, like Gina, started creating like melodies and like started rapping almost.
That's awesome.
While we're doing it, and then the horns came up with this horn line. So everybody's like in sync at this one moment.
Yeah,
and we had that togetherness of everybody.
Yeah,
there was like, yo, we're all creating together.
Heck yeah. That's, and so is that especially fun? I mean, not just because of the contribution you're making to that community, mm-hmm. but when you're touring and playing like the same set or similar sets every night, is that especially fun when you get to just like spend 10 15 20 minutes just improvising and playing something completely different?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's it just, you know, it's a little break
a little break in the pattern.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we had killer musicians on with us. Like my buddy Eli Menezes, shout out. He played bass with us last night at Kill Tony.
Heck yeah.
D had his birthday party at Geraldine. So he was doing his own thing, which more power to him.
Side note, watching him watch Casey Rocket is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
That was really funny.
Like just watching him, because when Casey's on, he's just like...
Are you talking about D?
Yeah.
So D's blind, but he can hear.
Oh, not D. I'm thinking of the guitarist. Never mind. Matt. Not the bassist. Yeah.
It is fun to watch D watch.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got confused.
Yeah. I thought he was doing that on purpose.
I thought so too.
No, I thought you were doing a bit.
I'm not doing a bit. I just got the guitarist and the obviously blind bassist mixed up.
Which is so funny, because when you went like this, I was like, well, D kind of just looks straight anyway. So it's like,
I'm so sorry.
Weird side note.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron, the mute comic.
Dude, Aaron Belial, dude.
Aaron Belial. So I was at a show that Joe Begley was hosting in an apartment, kind of like one of those weird South By things.
Yeah.
And Aaron comes in. I was early because I'm usually early. And Joe starts bombarding Aaron with questions. And I just look at him. I'm like, yeah, ask the mute guy a lot of questions.
Yeah, dude, take it easy. He only has one thumb, bro. Relax.
He's fast with it.
But he's really fast. But like,
I'm so sorry, though. I was thinking of the guitarist.
Yeah. One of those moments.
Back to Honduras.
That would have been a great bit.
That's a horrible bit.
I got confused. I was like, wait, D can't? I don't think he's talking about D.
Yeah, nope. Not, I'm just dumb. Anyway.
No, it's fine.
Back to you being a badass and giving back to the communities.
Perfect. Yes. Bring it back, dude.
There you go.
But yeah, so like that was just one instance of how many people we got to hang out with and you know, really kind of get to know in that one space. So it was like an hour and a half, every one of these, we call them workshops.
Yeah. Sure.
And we had fun at everyone.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And even for the kids who weren't musicians, they just wanted to be around people who they never get to see.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Yeah. So that was just a fun, experience altogether, and coming back with a new perspective. Like I had done it. I did it in Costa Rica. I had done a tour with Gina in Costa Rica in 2017.
Okay.
So I'd been to San Jose before, and we did the same thing. No days off on that one. It was
just quick. back to back.
But it was that I remember coming back the first time and going, holy dude, we need to, me thinking like I need to give back to my community a little bit more.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like specifically back at home in Brownsville. I haven't been back because it's kind of hard to go back.
It's hard to go back, yeah.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But I, like, going out there and teaching those students, we didn't really have that in Brownsville.
Yeah. Right.
Like, we had maybe, we had this thing called Day of Percussion, which happened in McAllen once a year, and I only ever went one time. Mm-hmm. And I remember that, like,
still,
dude. Yeah. It was such a pivotal point. Like, because I was a senior in high school, and I'm going to school for this.
Yeah.
So the percussion instructor at UNT did a masterclass.
Yeah.
No, not a masterclass. A clinic, which is different.
Yeah.
He did a clinic. He was playing and like showing timpani and different stuff. And I remember he asked for a he asked for a volunteer and I went up and I played a little bit.
Like, yeah.
I'm not good at timpani at all, but I answered a couple questions and I played. And I remember he gave me his timpani book.
Mm. No way.
Yeah. To like study, to go to school.
Heck
yeah. And then, Walfredo Reyes Jr. was there with his dad, percussionist drummer. And then Walfredo played drums and Daniel De Los Reyes, who plays percussion for, Zach Brown band.
Those three,
father and son, and I think he's a cousin.
I
could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's a cousin. They did like a trio thing of just drums and percussion, and it was awesome. And I remember being, I want to do that.
Heck,
you know, I want to be a part of something like this, where like Walfredo plays for Chicago now, and I mean his dad had played for so many different people, but that, like, having those guys of that level come, I had just started playing drum set and watching this in person. I was like, I got to do it.
Yeah.
So now I'm getting to the point where like, maybe I can be that for somebody.
Yeah.
In my hometown.
Mike, not maybe.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like,
and what you're doing is preparing you for that.
Absolutely.
Because there's a point in your life where you couldn't do that.
Oh, at that point, I remember. I was, you know, I've been in that situation where I, you know, just starting, and I see these people who have performed all over the world with so many different people, and I was like, oh, that's what I want to do.
Heck yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So now having this experience in other countries and teaching music and that's put me, I think, on a path where like I want to be able to go and do clinics and master classes with, you know, the kids where I'm from, that don't necessarily get to have that.
Yeah. Well, and there's something so, as you've seen it, like there's something so powerful about even one day of seeing somebody who is from where you're from or looks the way, like someone who has your background.
Absolutely.
That you get to actually meet and see, like, oh, they've done what I want to do.
Yeah.
This is possible.
So here's another example. My teacher, Fausto Cuevas III.
Yeah.
He's from Brownsville, but he lives in LA and plays like, still plays with Stevie Wonder today. He's Stevie Wonder's percussionist.
Who's also blind. I know that.
Well, actually, there's theories that
gosh,
he may not.
Dang it. All right.
So Fausto actually told me like he's played ping pong.
Yeah.
With Stevie.
Dang. I mean, I've heard of the controversy because there was that time on TRL where like Carson reached out to shake Stevie Wonder's
hand.
He knew exactly where it was. So,
I mean,
there are levels of blind.
Right? Yeah. But he's been blind since forever.
I think, from birth.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Anyway. So going back to Fausto, that same year, Fausto came and he's a Hanna High School graduate, which is, you know, local high school in Brownsville. I think he had just finished a run with Stevie, came back and did this huge clinic. Like played congas, played timbal, like did this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And my dad took me to that specific one too. And I remember it was at this old f-ing club right next to a Target called Hurricanes.
Nice.
That isn't a thing anymore.
Oh.
It was like behind an Applebee's and a f-ing shopping center. And
it sounds like a good time. A hurricane, was it?
It wasn't.
Okay.
Just funny. Sure. Yeah. But so I remember leaving there too. And I met him and I was like, oh, like another example of like, so, but that this one was, he was from Brownsville.
Yeah.
He came back, like lit the whole f-ing stage on fire by himself. There was nobody else, just him playing congas, him playing timbal, all this crazy percussion. And afterwards, another teacher who wasn't mine, but knew him and knew me. He was like, yo, like he's going to come do lessons. Why don't you come take your first drum set lesson? My first drum set lesson was with Fausto. And now he's my teacher now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude. That's
so cool. having that connection with somebody from my home that has been all over the world with Stevie and J-Lo and all these people.
Yeah.
Is extra special.
Yeah. Well, it's also cool because y'all are starting like a lineage of people from Brownsville, from like
huge.
And that's how it starts.
Yeah.
Like, so and these places become hotbeds, like music and culture.
Yeah.
And
the idea is infant, but I'm curious what in your head in the next, you know, year to 2 years, what does the Mike Gonzalez drum masterclass or percussion masterclass in Brownsville look like? Like, what do you want that to be?
Well, Fausto and I have actually talked about doing something together.
Hey-o.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. With another buddy who's from Brownsville.
Okay.
So maybe having a trio go down and like like me playing drums, Fausto playing perk, and then the other dude either playing drums or perk too.
Yeah.
I've actually never met the other dude, but I think that would be amazing because it gets all the tiers together.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like dude that's done it and like me who I'm like slowly
rising. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other dude who's, I think, in the same position as me, but we can all play and we all study under him.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So I think, and also like I play percussion. So does he. So we can do this like examples of rumba and, and us all playing
cover all the bases.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Of congas. That was kind of like a deep cut for people who are, you know, not into music or Cuban style or Afro-Cuban, anything.
Well, they're idiots anyway, so.
You start where you start.
They don't have taste. Yeah. That's all right. Anyway, peasants.
But yeah, so that's, I think that's what it looks like. And also with this AMA program, our guy who was with us that was with the program that hired us.
Yeah.
He traveled the entire thing us, the whole trip. And he asked us individually if we were interested in doing clinics through AMA.
Okay.
So I was like, yo, that will actually kickstart. Like if he does call, like that'll kickstart whole thing.
Because then you have the backbone, you have the foundation.
Absolutely.
Like, you have the planning kind of taken care of.
Well, it's essentially just giving me the gig and now I can prepare for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So, and it also will be in a different country.
Yeah.
Like they usually do those in Egypt and Colombia.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
so if he calls.
Very similar places.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Same language.
Lots
same
of powder.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of, yes. Sand and a bunch of shit. And other powder.
And other powder.
Nice. Yeah.
Drugs.
Yeah, that one.
Oh,
went
man.
Way over
my head. Oh, man.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Normally, we bring you our not sponsors, but today we are excited to talk about an actual sponsor. Hydrate by Good Anya. You can go to goodanyaorganic.com to get Hydrate, which is an all-organic hydration powder supplement. It contains only natural organic ingredients and no sugar at all. It's made of lemon juice, coconut water, stevia, and organic sea minerals. This is the best hydration product I personally have ever used. I take it every single day when I wake up and after my sauna, and I feel incredible. Completely organic ingredients. A good friend of ours introduced us to this, and I can't go a day without it. So get yourself some Good Anya. Get yourself hydrated.
Look, it's not the 1920s anymore. Everybody has a business or a startup of some sort, whether it's a side project, whether you've ditched the silver spoon and are going all in on your side hustle to make it a full-blown business, or you have a small business already, but you've hit a plateau in growth and you're trying to find different ways to turn your marketing dollars into legitimate revenue. Well, Creators Collective is here for you. They are a full-service marketing agency offering marketing, branding, logo design, copy, video, social media management, anything custom to your business or your startup or your side hustle that will help you grow your bottom line, grow your brand reach, and just feel like you have the best dang company ever because your marketing assets are frankly better than everybody else in the game. So what you need to do right now is go to creatorscollective.us and contact them to schedule a call and find how Creators Collective can help you grow your business for the long term. That's Creators Collective. Schedule a call and just grow your freaking business with marketing that freaking works.
Yep. What happened the one day in Honduras? You bookmarked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had a day off in Honduras and we were like, well, what the fuck should we do? Like they're known for their watering holes.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled up a bunch of stuff on my Google and I showed them like, hey, let's go to this one.
Yeah.
And the lady who was taking care of us, like literally driving us around, she's like, actually I have a guide who can take you to something completely different.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's still a watering hole.
Mm-hmm.
So we hiked into like a national park in Honduras.
Okay.
And we hiked up to these like watering holes, but there were waterfalls, like pools.
Yeah.
One, two, three, like four, stair stepping. Five.
Oh,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Waterfalls into those.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
And we hiked, well, I don't know. We probably hiked an hour and a half up to that one spot.
Okay.
In the sun. It was probably like 90 degrees.
Nice.
The water's freezing.
Nice.
Freezing cold, wow. But it was perfect because we were all
because you're sweaty. Yeah.
Sweaty. Yeah. So we jump in and like everybody's having a blast. Next, like, so the one at the very top is a tiny little pool, but it goes 15 feet deep, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it's tiny.
Yeah.
It's tiny, like almost probably this room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Gotcha. Just imagine a circle in the fucking jungle. And then at the that one leads into a bigger one, 60 feet. Well, actually, no, from the waterfall, it's 50 feet. And then there's another higher step where you can jump off of.
Okay.
Like a cliff jump.
Yeah.
I cliff jumped 60 feet that day.
Whoa.
And how did that feel?
Okay. So.
Because that's high enough.
That's high enough that it hurts.
A little bit.
Okay. So check this out. There's a tree in the way. Of that, so it's not just a clear path off.
Right,
the
cliff.
You gotta get out.
You gotta like jump and then push yourself to the side.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
are people telling you this, or are you just looking at?
No,
it?
No, I'm like, looking
you're
at
just
it.
Like, all right, this is how I'm gonna do it.
I'm
gotta figure it out.
Beta here. It's just
no. Well, actually, there was, because the tour guide was like, "Hey, this is what you're gonna want to do."
Okay,
like where him and I are speaking in Spanish, like figuring it out. So that's how I knew I had to like jump to the side and kind of push off.
Yeah.
This it's not a little tree. It's definitely a fucking
tree
right there
in the jungle. That's never been cut down.
Right. So I'm thinking I've never been this scared.
Yeah.
Like I like thrills and
Right.
But I started thinking too much because everybody was looking at me and I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. 3, 2, 1. And I fucking jumped off. But I grabbed the tree instead of pushing it.
Oh.
So like I held on a little bit and my body went backwards. So I landed on my ass and lower back from 60 feet. And I felt like I just got fucking spanked by my mom when I was 10. Man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Like, Mother Nature just reached up and like slapped it out of you.
Yeah.
All the memories of when I was a kid of getting spanked, all of them together came back just, at once.
Yeah.
Talk about releasing the trauma.
That sting. That sting and warmth of
dude, it was but I think the drop was like a second and a half.
Yeah.
Which when you're in the air.
When you're in the air,
that's
when you're skydiving, that drop is only like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, you go so far up, but it feels like forever.
Well, and especially when you're cliff jumping.
Yeah.
The depth perception
is so off.
So off.
Yeah.
So a 60 foot jump, like it feels really high,
absolutely.
But you still think I'm going to hit the water soon. And then you jump and you're like,
I'm not hitting
the
water.
I'm not hitting water. What's happening?
Yeah. Why is there air underneath?
It throws off when you
right
like
now.
Take that deep breath.
Yeah.
Cause what's the height of the bridge you can jump off of over? That's like 20 feet.
Maybe 20
feet.
Like, wait, which bridge? The one,
the one you're not supposed to jump off.
The one you're not supposed to jump. Yeah.
Barnes Springs.
Yeah.
The walkway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 20 feet, maybe.
Like 15.
Even that one you jump off of and you're like, and
that's way longer than I thought.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great.
Dang.
Just landed on my back.
Okay. I thought this was about to go and I broke my back.
And I broke my back.
So it's not as bad. So like I jump in, I grab the tree, I fall back into the water.
And I mean, is everyone like, oh
yeah,
like,
that all of
it's
them.
It's obvious that it hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all watching from the top of the,
do we have video of this?
There is video.
Okay, cool. Send it to us and we'll play it.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah, you'll get to see me hold the fucking tree.
Right here.
And here's Mike.
And here's Mike falling
to his
almost
death. Grabbing when he should have pushed.
Yeah, and you could hear me in the video go, 3, 2, 1. Like I paused for a little bit.
Can't
like
pause.
Yeah. Well, you can't pause. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Like it, when you're in that situation, you can't think about
no.
it. You just go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, reap the consequences later.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was, you know, I started thinking about it. I was like, wow.
Which luckily we're still not 100.
It's a great meta lesson for life there.
Right.
Yeah. Just exactly. Rip it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just full send, baby.
Full send. Don't think too much.
No. And, I was like, I was the only one who did that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I like thrills like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it. I did it once.
If you're going to hike up that far, like jump off the cliff,
why not?
Do it. Why not?
I mean, kindred spirits. Like I see a cliff and a deep enough water hole. Like,
I'm jumping.
We're going to jump in.
Yeah.
That's like.
Says the guy who got mad at me for jumping off the bridge.
Well, because that
you're not supposed to do that.
It's not because you're not supposed to.
He doesn't like it when I take his shine. You know, he's like, I'm the thrill seeker.
No, it's because that pedestrian bridge. If you all know what we're talking about near Barton Springs, there's all these fallen trees underneath.
Yeah. Oh
there.
Yeah, that's true.
So if the water's shallow enough,
you will break your leg.
It's not that you're going to hit the ground. It's like you're going to get impaled by a
tree.
Branch. Yeah. Like it's just a.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous from that perspective. Yeah. Well, I don't care if you cliff jump, but when it's like you might.
He doesn't care if you cliff jump into water where you have no idea what's going on.
Honestly, it's the fact that I know what's down there. Like I don't want you to
Gunnar has a very clear delineation of like what's okay and what's not.
What? I'm just a purist. At heart.
He is. Like, okay. he is a purist, and it's hilarious.
The world is black and white, and I'm right. Anyway. Yeah.
Dude, I love that I can see your brotherly interactions here. Like, it's all coming out.
Oh, man.
He's like,
I appreciate that.
I just don't want you to cut your foot on a Topo Chico bottle or, like, get a tampon shoved up your nose because you're in Lady Bird Lake. So,
it does happen.
Hey, man. Yeah. If you got a nosebleed, it's the best.
I like I've heard that man reference there.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, dude, that was my sister and I's favorite movie.
He's a man.
Or one of them. One of them.
Also, David Cross in that movie.
Hilarious.
So funny.
To Illyria.
Yeah. Welcome. I just wanted to have you here to say welcome.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
All right, you're caught.
Dude,
his characters are amazing.
Well, absolutely. Oh my God. I love. Have you ever tried to run away in heels, Malcolm? It's not that easy.
It's not that easy. All these weird ass references.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So good.
No, I actually think he makes that movie.
He really does. Especially if you're a guy. Like, I think girls love that movie from the more girl perspective. Yeah, but when you're a dude watching it, that part's funny.
Hilarious.
But David Cross makes it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Thomas Hayden Church making Easy A as funny as it is.
True.
Like, having that teacher foil of just, like, you know,
not
dry
caring,
humor, rats, not caring, absolutely completely so straightforward.
Thomas Hayden Church, if I'm correct, he plays Sandman in Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of the right guy.
Yeah. He's also the bad guy in George of the Jungle.
In George of the Jungle, yeah. He's been around forever.
Yeah.
With Brendan Fraser. With Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser.
Right.
Let's go.
Stand by. Looney Tunes back in action is what he should have gotten.
That's what he should have gotten it for.
But
what about Monkey Bones, dude?
Bedazzled? One of my favorite movies of all time.
Absolutely.
So good.
Es un mis establos.
I soy narcotraficante muy poderoso. Bro, that movie is
so fucking fire. It's so good. It's so good.
And that was my first introduction to Elizabeth Hurley.
Mm. The first of many.
I mean, bro,
she can still get it.
She's
amazing.
Have you? I follow. Like, I think she has like two or three different Instagram accounts. I follow all three.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
And the fan account.
Can I be honest, man? I just want her to read me a bedtime story.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I wish they would, Calm would hire her to read just any
story.
Because
I'm so dumb with Sam Harris.
You're probably right.
Calm would turn into a Rouse pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know what? One leads to the other.
What if that was a company?
Aroused. Yeah, instead of calm, just like aroused.
Sexy voices.
Hey, man.
Bro, let's do it.
Let's
trademark. Let's start.
Let's do it. Aroused. Yeah. Right. Sexy voices reading Little Rock. Yeah,
yeah,
let's
go. We're going to make that.
We're going to make
it.
Yeah, yeah.
For real, if there was an app called Aroused, who would the voice be for you guys?
I think, Elizabeth Hurley would be Star.
It's up there. It's up there for sure.
She's there. Tier one.
Absolutely.
Hold on. I got to think about this.
There's a couple like British women who for sure would have to be like top tier.
Emily Blunt, right?
Maybe Rose Winslet from Titanic.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's British.
See that?
Yeah,
just pay me like one of your French women, just over and over and over.
This is a deep cut for my cooking fans. Nigella Lawson, her voice.
Can you give us an impression? Because I don't even.
I mean, just like imagine Elizabeth Hurley if Elizabeth Hurley like baked you cookies. Like that's the
voice. Would actually be sick.
Okay. Add a little bit of honey.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha.
Some like that.
Who else?
Who else has a really sexy voice?
Sexy voice,
not Penelope Cruz, but
I mean,
well,
I mean, yeah, in Vanilla Sky,
yes,
dude, yes,
come on,
and also in Blow, I think she was great,
agree, yeah.
Dude. You know what? I've never seen that movie.
It's a good movie
with Johnny Depp, right?
Yeah, Johnny Depp, super good.
I need to watch that one,
yeah, God, it's nice. It's
Gordon,
nice.
Gordon Beckham, I mean, look, like
who?
Gordon Beckham.
Gordon Beckham?
Not Gordon Beckham. David Beckham.
David Beckham.
I'm all over the place today, man.
Okay, yeah.
Gordon Beckham.
Oi. We both looked at each other like Gordon.
Yeah, you guys are really catching me today.
From now on, he's Gordon Beckham.
Dude,
from now on.
Dude, if I was gay, I think Gordon Beckham.
Yeah, we're stuck on it now.
I know.
David Beckham.
David Beckham is my dude.
I mean, just imagine.
Yeah.
I want neck that tattoo.
Oh yeah,
really?
Why don't you get them yet?
Well,
is there a
money or wife going on here?
Well, Anna, I asked her. I was like, yo, what would you think if I get a neck tattoo? She's like, dude, that would be hot.
Okay,
I think you should. Right. But
and then you proposed.
Right,
exactly.
After he came.
at the same time.
Nice.
But she actually is into it. Yeah. I just, you know, okay. For the wedding with my grandpa there. And,
yeah.
You know,
fair.
Oh,
that's
her parents. Fair.
Yeah. Totally get it. Yeah.
Hey, man.
What happens?
Would you do a chest piece into a neck piece or just a straight neck?
And what are we thinking neck piece wise? Are we going like.
It has to be something like super profound to me. And I was thinking, like, I have a. There's a Prince poster from the 1980s. I think it's either right after Purple Rain or it came with Purple Rain.
Okay.
It's him in all white, like has two hands on a rose or two roses that are pink.
Okay.
And like a scenery in the background. Those roses, I thought about putting them on my neck, but I talked to a tattoo artist who's one of Anna's best friends, and she's like, your neck's too small for that.
Oh,
like for it to like look like really
nice. Really look good.
Yeah.
It would have to be like fine needlework.
Yeah. Well, that's all I want is fine needlework. Okay, I don't like really thicker
ones. There's actually a fine needle shop right across from the studio.
Is it that?
That one right there. Yeah. Like specifically.
Yeah. They specifically do small tattoos.
Small fine needles.
I mean, Chloe Grace Moretz just got some fine line from that.
Yeah. Chloe Grace Moretz. I haven't heard that name in forever.
I was looking. I'm so confused. Who is,
she, do you, did you watch, Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass?
The little girl.
The superhero movie.
Yeah. What about
Hugo? Was it Hugo?
Yeah, she was in Hugo.
The animated film?
No, that's Wally.
What's another good one that she's in? She like went to college, so it's been a minute.
We'll show you a picture.
Did you watch 30 Rock?
I didn't watch.
Yeah, I'm just trying to like bounce around. Anyway, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, anyway, for sure. Yeah, we'll all over the place.
We'll put a picture just like celebrity endorsement. That's how it's like. All right, we got.
Anyway, also be on the lookout for Aroused from the Texas Bros and Michael Gonzalez.
That's right.
Coming summer 2023. Right.
Reading poetry.
Also, really quick,
your low voice. Like if you were
if
to
I
do
put it,
it
on, yeah.
I
thank you. I appreciate it.
I would put it in my queue.
Yeah, well,
not me because you're my
brother. Right,
right. But me, I could see. I'll do it. Yeah. Why not? Anna and I will be listening together and just like, wow, that's my buddy.
I would just have Tony Hinchcliffe going, wow.
Wow.
You are hysterical.
Because I love Tony.
Gay Woody looking ass. Anyway.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a gay Woody.
He gets it. Dude, he gets it.
Hey, man.
Dude, last night.
I feel like it's on purpose.
He plays into it, it's a whole thing. Like what was it? Oh, David Lucas came on last night, so the guest, since this is going to be out after after the episode, Bert Kreischer, Whitney Cummings, Jim Norton.
That is a fire lineup.
I mean, dude,
holy crap.
It couldn't have been better.
In those three together,
Whitney Cummings' laugh would be in my Aroused. Anyway, keep going.
Really?
Look, I've got
Whitney. You know what? That's fine.
Let me have my
fair enough. I'm gonna let you have your
stop
things.
Hating on me.
Unlike you, I let you have your things. No, you do. You wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me have my three singles from In-N-Out.
Well,
and you wouldn't let him jump off.
You wouldn't let me jump off the bridge.
Back to this really quick.
I'm in an abusive relationship with my brother. He's trying to manipulate and control me.
You're allowed to be like your brother. Yeah, so it's like y'all can f with each other.
Yeah.
Pause last night really
this
quick.
This is unique. This is
Let's
unique.
Let's jump here really quick.
Anyway.
When he goes to In-N-Out, he gets three singles.
Yeah.
That's weird.
One of them animal style, the other two.
Look
not.
At his face. Look at that.
He's just thinking. He's thinking about it because he's like, wait, that's cheap.
Would you get?
Is it cheaper?
It's cheaper than getting two doubles.
Hmm.
But if you're going to get three singles, why not get two doubles or one triple?
Here's why. I actually, here's why.
At In-N-Out, you can go 5x5.
Dude, you can do whatever. In-N-Out is kind of crazy. Like you could say to them, I want a 5x3, and they would give you 5 meat patties and 3 cheese slices.
Yeah.
So they're the real have it your way.
They're the real have it your way. You just got to know. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Burger King, dude.
Don't want it that way. Yeah, we had an episode talking about burgers. He was like, I get three singles from In-N-Out. And
that reel drops today.
I cried because I was like, that's the
weirdest. He almost left the podcast.
Yeah.
He was like,
I
don't want to do this anymore.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
But we can all agree the In-N-Out fries suck.
They are horrible.
I agree.
Yeah. Donkey.
It's like they dump like the hash browns you buy at the grocery store in the freezer section.
Yeah.
And they just dump that onto a plate. And it's like, here's your fries.
Like unfried. They're just like, here's raw soggy. Potato.
That's a f-ing great point. So. Yeah. what are your favorite fast food fries or any fries ever?
Fast food, any
fast
fries.
Food fries.
Right?
Do we count Five Guys? as we, fast
we
count food.
Fat, we, okay. The thick cut?
Yeah, because they'll make them real crispy, and they'll do the like the Old Bay seasoning, which that's right. I like a lot.
Yeah, they just
so
yeah,
I, all those my cup. Those are like my favorite fast food fries for sure.
Dude, I haven't had Five Guys in 10 years.
It's so
since good. I was in college, so not right. 10 so years, good. But
do we have one in Austin?
I don't. So maybe
there used to be one on the drag.
There's not anymore.
There's not.
It's well, nothing like, lasts on the
drag. Well, the drag is now like South only, Congress Light.
Well, the only thing that stays on the drag is like AIDS and homeless people. So.
Well, I'll say this. I will say this.
Not fair. Anymore.
No, yeah.
Fair, not point, anymore.
I'll say this. Yeah. Hole in the wall. The hole in the wall is still there and it hasn't changed. And it, I appreciate that.
I miss Big Bite.
Big Bite was good.
Bro. Big Bite was awesome, dude.
Dude, I spent so many nights.
I got to say, though, having Eastside King right there is so nice.
I'm not a big fan of Eastside King, but that wasn't there when I was.
No, it wasn't when I was in college either.
Wait, did you go to UT?
Yeah, I went to UT.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, dude. This guy over here going to A&M, dude.
Right.
Giggum.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm not, like I said, I'm not a big fan of Eastside King, but it wasn't there when I was there. Yeah. So I feel.
Oh,
I,
what were your years?
2011 to 2015.
Yeah, see, I was 1 year before you. I was 2010 to 2014.
Oh.
So we overlapped.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hey. We probably ran across each other a few times.
I wonder if
probably.
He knows.
Yeah.
Did you play in the marching band or not the marching band?
I didn't.
You have to, okay.
I didn't.
You had that. Well, I that's I said. Yeah. You had that friend Max who was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you might know Cody.
Cody Kimball.
Cody Kimball?
He would have been 1 year above you, but he was in the music program.
Super Thief.
Cody Kimball. Is he also a comedian?
No.
No. Okay. I'm thinking of a different right,
fair
Cody.
Enough, fair
okay.
enough.
Anyway. Back to last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, David Lucas came out and his set was, dude. Also, when he comes out, it's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lights everybody on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bert was like, okay, do me next. Okay. Like his laugh.
His laugh, man.
Everybody was just into it. And that, I think, for me, was probably like the pop of the night.
The pop of the night.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And then Jim Norton lit him up.
Nice.
Dude, he got the biggest pop of the night. Dude,
Jim's really? Jim's a sleeper roaster. Yeah. Like, he is so good.
Well, he's been on that's like he was on Opie and Anthony all the time. So, he comes from that New York. With you you know that's
like bus balls,
Jim's got everything out in the open, so it's just like that lack of being
absolutely
he just doesn't care. There's nothing you
it's
can
not
say to him
that
matters.
It's just that nothing's
it's just whoop slides right off
versus someone like Bert where like you might hit a
you might hit a button
without knowing it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, he was hitting all the buttons last night with everybody. Yeah, that's it was great.
I can't wait for that episode to come out.
Yeah, I mean,
and you had met Bert before last night, right? Or like been in the green room.
Yeah.
Right?
So I met Bert the first time when he was, when him and Joe came on the podcast at Vulcan.
Okay.
And Joe, I don't know if y'all remember this, but they both were blacked out drunk.
Yeah.
Well, because they recorded
a
podcast and they went straight to like Kill Tony.
Right. 5 hours of nonstop just, like,
drinking. Yeah. Drinking, smoking weed, like all the things.
Yeah. So they showed up halfway through the episode. And at one point, Bert gives another dude he was giving a story that he lost like 150 some crazy amount of pounds, and he was like, well, he just got up, took his belt off, gave it to him, and then Joe went over like in high school, pulled his pants down. I remember this because I'm like,
his
ass is in my face, and his dick is like to the entire crowd.
My God.
I was like, holy. This is showbiz.
Showbiz, baby.
Well, that was only a few months into you doing Kill Tony, right?
It was a little over
a little over a year.
A little over a year. Okay.
Like maybe a year and a half, a year and 6 months.
Jeez.
Which is a year and a half.
Yeah.
I have this Gunner hates this, but I have this
I don't theory. Hate everything you do. What is this?
No.
I'm in a manipulative relationship.
No.
What?
You don't know what I'm about to say.
All right, fine. Go for it.
Gunner hates it when I say this.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that Burt Kreischer is Gunnar Rogers if Gunnar had an alcohol problem.
I do hate it when you say that because I know it's probably true.
No.
Just wildness and the no fear of just being out there. The boldness, the dreaming big,
so
all of those things.
I had a phase where I hated Burt Kreischer.
Right.
Like
when you know what they say about when you hate somebody.
You're exactly
you see
yourself.
You see the thing about you that you don't like.
Yeah. And the more I listen to him, the more I'm like, he's actually seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
He really is, man.
He is funny. He does a lot.
Clearly works
comedy.
So hard.
Works
which nobody works as hard as Gunnar.
Truly.
Nah, Well, it's great.
Different, but
I,
like,
I don't type on my computer in 120 degree shed.
I know.
Yeah, I finally came around, but yeah, there was a phase where I just hated Bert Kreischer. Yeah, I would call Seth.
Yeah, he literally would call me
to just vent about how I hate Bert Kreischer. Like, yeah, that's how bad it was. And then I finally realized, oh yeah, if I was unhinged,
yeah, if you had no like God in your life.
My parents tell me I have no filter, and I'm like,
right.
No, I have one. Because if I didn't, I would be that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, if I drank into drugs, it would be the way Bert does.
Which is why I can't wait for you to meet Bert at some point.
I think
it's gonna be a fun time.
Absolutely.
I want to hit baseballs with him.
It'd be great.
Dude, like, I want to hit baseballs with him.
I mean, back to Bert Kreischer is like the epitome of the guy you just want to hang out with when you're a fan. It's not like I want to meet him because I want to fangirl. Right. It's like, I want to hang out.
You
want to
do stuff.
100%. Anyway, and he's that. So when you ask me like what the popularity, if it comes or like, how would you approach it? I would like to be the Bert Kreischer hanging with everybody.
Yeah.
I think that's I'm an extrovert or whatever. I get energy from being around people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's why I like him so much.
Yeah.
Because he's just out hanging and having a beer.
And you feed off of that.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do. I really do. So I can connect to like that.
Heck yeah. And like, that's, for some reason, that seems unique to me among musicians. Is that, or am I just skewed on like, it seems like most musicians are a little more introverted, a little more like
protective of themselves
and their little crowd. Whereas you're the nicest, kindest, one of the more extroverted people I know. So like, does that stick out in the musician community?
I'm not sure actually. I guess all my friends are kind of like me, you know, there's some people that like, that just, you know, they're elusive, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gary's like a super shy, quiet dude, but he's always out listening to people here in town, you know?
Fair.
So it's like he's out there, but he's not going to be like Bert going, you know, talking
going
to everybody.
Going and buying everybody in the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah.
I do feel that, you know, my dad's this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
I can't,
I want to meet your dad so badly, but
nah, dude, he's great, dude.
He's like the coolest dude.
He's f-ing awesome.
Dadcast.
Oh, here we go.
Oh man.
He's got some stories of like, of his work. Cause we were talking about DEAs and Border Patrol and all that. Like he was, Border Patrol first when I was, I was born in Arizona.
I didn't know that.
On the border, Douglas, Arizona.
Yuma? Oh, Douglas.
Yeah,
Douglas.
Yeah.
So in 1992, that's where he got stationed out in Douglas.
Yeah.
And both my sister and I were born there.
Okay.
It was a tiny ass hospital. Yeah. The only one.
I've been through that check in Douglas.
Yeah.
Like,
there's nothing but like the check, a gas station.
And a very small hospital.
And the Border Patrol families.
So, so that's where he worked for 3 years, maybe.
Wow. What the heck?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So you lived in Douglas for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I mean,
right, not that you, but like, that's,
I don't remember
where
you, any of it. But
you breastfed in Douglas.
That's damn right.
That's a gross way to put that.
Yeah, but it's true though. It's what happened.
That's what happened.
Yeah. So like, he's got stories of, so his first when he first got hired, his shifts were at midnight. So he'd work from midnight to like 7 a.m. or like 11 to 7.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he was like all for it.
Because he would just talk to people.
Well, it was just him and his partner.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's got stories of like finding a little girl because their family left her.
Yeah.
Like the coyotes were like, you got to leave her. She's keeping us behind. Dude, like that type of shit. Yeah, man.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So like, he's got stories like that of when he was,
I would love to highlight that.
Yeah. It's pretty wild, man. So like, he got hired with Customs, which we moved back to Brownsville. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked, which is cool. This is another funny thing. Like my dad's met so many, celebrities because he worked at the Brownsville airport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you're at that specific airport, when you're coming anywhere from Mexico privately, that's your first stop.
You have to stop.
You have to stop there.
You have to.
So he's met George Strait.
Nice.
NASCAR driver, 24, Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon.
Yeah. Dude's hung out with Jeff Gordon.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. Adam Sandler's crew.
Nice. What the heck?
I got to meet, Dante.
Are you serious?
I met Dante.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, yeah.
And then also Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston. Nice. I got to meet them in
Braniston?
And when they were Braniston.
When they were Braniston.
And nice. he had highlights. And wow. She was still on Friends. Do you remember the Thanksgiving episode?
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was time.
Oh man.
No. Yep. Way. Were her nipples?
Yeah.
By the way, that was so funny. That was like a bra design thing. In the 90s, you could buy a bra with the nipple inserts.
I thought they were making them that way. I thought they didn't wear bras back then.
Yeah.
No, if you look. If you look, she's this is a weird thing. It is a weird thing that I know. When I was engaged, my fiance and I watched all of Friends because neither of us had ever seen it. And I was like, her nipples are nuts. Like, what is going
on? They're always.
And I was like, is she not wearing a bra? And you can see that she's wearing a bra.
But her nipples are clearly.
And my ex was like, no, like they definitely, that was like a style. Like you can buy, you know, you could buy
so
bras with the
bra
nipple
with like a nipple.
And insert. I was like, there's no way that's a thing. That's not even so we looked it up on the internet and like sure they enough. Existed. So maybe it was her nipples poking through a bra, but maybe it was the insert and that's just the style. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, you heard it here.
I'm
first.
Saying that's Mike a weird rabbit
shots,
hole.
Shots.
Jennifer, there you go.
Jennifer Aniston's early two.
Anyway, so Mike was staring at Jennifer Aniston's nipples.
Well, I was like 12 or 8.
So you definitely were.
Well, you were staring at everyone's nipples.
Right. Yeah, I was probably staring at everybody's feet more. Oh, I'm fair. A foot guy, dude.
Oh, you're
Andrew Schultz.
Dang.
Yeah, okay. Is this the first time we've announced this on the podcast?
This is breaking news. Wow. I thought foot thing was a joke my whole life.
No.
No.
And only recently. Not to get too personal, unless you want to. Can you explain it to me? Because, like, I guess as not a foot person, I don't understand.
So
it.
Check this.
Okay.
My mom has always told me, even when I was a baby, like when I was crawling, she said I used to crawl up to women's feet.
Mm. No way.
It's just a thing.
Like, you've been foot worshiping,
right, bro?
Since
so there's if you're Freudian or like Jungian, there's this school of psychology that thinks that some foot fetishes are born from like whenever you're a baby, if you crawl around on the floor and your mom is barefoot a lot, that it can develop that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe. I don't know how true that is or not, but it could be.
Yeah. Okay. So check this. When I was in elementary school, I went to this private school and the principal, well, actually, it was a woman who worked in the front.
A higher person. An adult.
Yes. An adult.
In the school.
I got in trouble for like tapping on my desk or something. So I'm sitting outside the principal's office and, the woman walks up and she's having another conversation with another woman and I'm staring at her toes and
they're out
and they're like, it's like bright red, like lipstick red. That was like,
you know,
I didn't have a hard on, but I was like, this is
interesting.
Like
I was in elementary school.
Right.
And I was like,
interesting.
Wow, like, you know, like, and then she goes, she literally snaps her hand. She saw me staring at her feet. She was, because I think she's like a family friend,
right?
You know, or but it, you know, whatever.
Like,
but she
ruins.
She's like good friends with my parents. Yeah. Like she knows me, and she was snapping at it. She's like,
"What the
hell?" Yeah, it was so funny.
I'm also just laughing at the fact that like of all the things an elementary school kid could be staring at, she was still like,
"She was like,
don't look at my feet."
Like, and it wasn't even that. She was like laughing about
right,
it.
Right,
so
right.
She's like, she's like, what are you looking
at?
Yeah. But I remember that so vividly.
Like your heart's racing right now.
Yeah. That's when your sexuality came online.
I don't know if it came online, but I those were like some of the early instances.
Should we
of like,
include feet pics in arouse?
But
should we
that's
describe feet?
Do you so weird question? Weirder question?
Yeah,
because you have a foot fetish of some kind, or you like feet.
Yeah.
Do you take care of your own feet really well?
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah,
I try to.
Do your own feet turn you on?
No.
Okay,
that's
okay.
That's a weird one.
That would be weird.
That'd be like, do you yourself on? Fetish. Like, that's a different thing.
Is that a thing?
Is it probably?
Maybe. I don't want to pull it up. I don't know.
maybe it's like empowering. Right? I turn myself on.
Anyway, all right.
Yeah,
anyway.
But I try to because that's
because it's important to you.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
That makes sense.
I'm curious about this. Is a hard pivot. Speaking of women's feet, you posted on Instagram.
Here we go.
Last week. Something kind of happened with like an organization your lovely fiance
We're going there.
Is it okay to talk about that? Or
you don't have to, but like, yeah, I mean, it was.
You don't have to name the name, but I'm just more curious from the like the way musicians are treated. Like,
yeah, man,
someone mistreated not just your fiance, but another friend musician in an organization that you've been let go from as well. So just let's dive into it. Yeah. What happened? What's the qualm?
So
what is that whole world?
Yeah, this dude was treating my fiance like, well, here's the thing. She got fired unfairly.
Yeah.
He yelled at her over the phone, all this stuff. And she kind of like freaked out. She had like, whoa, what the fuck? I wasn't expecting any of this. So when somebody berates you like that and you expect them, you expect the other person to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So you yourself as a CEO need to come at it a different way. And he didn't. And that's what pissed me off.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
So, you know,
those are your feet.
Yeah, like.
Don't, dude.
So check this out, dude. Check this out. In that organization, they actually let this guy go too. But a dude out of on a gig with Anna came, and I don't know if she wants me to say, but I don't give a
on a podcast.
Another guy came.
It was just podcasting.
Another guy came and took a picture of her feet. And like there was other people around. There's
people who saw this.
People saw this.
Back to snapping at someone staring at your feet.
Dude.
Yeah.
The guy took a picture of her feet. Right. And I'm not sure like what the exact moments happened, but he was like, yo, your toes are on point, and then walks away.
Whoa.
So like I thought it was hilarious at first because like I'm a foot guy, but also like my second thought was like, you know what he's going to do with that.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of
also like on a profitability standpoint, if he sells those without her,
you should get a cut.
Like, come on.
Okay. So my whole thing was like, yo, you should have grabbed his phone. And was like, all right, now you owe me $1,000.
Honestly.
Yeah. Cause you don't just get to do that without paying.
Yeah. Come on.
And consent.
It's not free.
This ain't free, baby.
Yeah. Come on.
Those are my feet.
Yeah. To live forever. Yeah. Like, look, take a mental picture. That's fine. But like an actual picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. It was crazy, dude.
Yeah.
It was crazy that
this organization was mismanaged, not well run, and it sounds like they were abusing their
They actually did the right for this situation. They did the right thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Like they had a conversation with her and it was like, okay, we're going to have to let him go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which
was,
you know, good. But that's the thing. Like Anna had never had any problems. She's been working with them for 7 years, and for her to get let go like this.
Yeah. When you said she was like having a private conversation with someone and like someone said, her and this other person said something.
Right. Yeah.
And that was the like.
And the hearsay is what like.
I talked to this guy online. Mm-hmm. I mean, online, on the phone.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with him. I was like, you need to tell me exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on my post, I said there was a bug in the room because that's what they felt.
Yeah.
He told me it wasn't.
Okay.
He was like actually listening to their conversation in the green room.
Okay.
Like he kept walking back and forth. What he was telling me, he was.
Well, that's called eavesdropping.
Right. And he said that himself.
Yeah.
Okay. He wanted me to retract a bunch of stuff. That's the only thing I'm going to retract because I can't retract anybody else's feelings.
Yeah.
On how they feel.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will retract that.
Yeah.
It wasn't bugged. Which is illegal.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
It's important to like.
Yeah. And also like, we had a conversation.
Yeah.
He called to apologize to Anna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like.
Not to give her job back, I guess.
Well, she did. Dude.
So and would you want
that? Yeah. No. Yeah. And so he wanted to actually call her and, you know, I talked to her about it and she's like, nah, that. I don't want it.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Mm-mm. I'm out.
Dang.
Well, great.
Good.
Cool.
Greener pastures.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I had that like. I had because he called to ask and to pretty much like plead like you got to take this down.
Yeah.
You have to.
Which he wouldn't unless it was true.
Like, and he didn't think this was going to go far. And I was like, there's so many other people that you have treated like shit, dude.
Yeah, yourself included. Like you mentioned, like they kind of did you dirty in the past, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, all that is like him and I had a conversation. I took the post down.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then also it was causing Anna a lot of like
stress and
anxiety and she couldn't like live. So like most of it was because I did the whole f-ing thing for her.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends too.
Yeah.
So if she's can't even move on from this post being up, I got to take it down.
Yeah.
So when he asked me, I was like, okay, bro,
all right, fine.
But this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And he told me and he was, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're past it.
Heck okay. Yeah.
But I think a lot of musicians in town who have worked for them, like they got to, you know, air their stuff.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's what I saw.
And like I wanted them to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair.
For sure. Well, yeah.
But then again, that's how they run their business. And all I wanted to do was warn people.
Yeah.
If you want to go work for them, dude, make your money.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Do your thing.
It's your decision.
Yeah.
But I'm just letting you know that this has happened
like,
in the past.
As a fellow musician, you're also like,
yeah,
there's absolutely other places to get paid too.
Absolutely. Like, and I want people to be treated fairly and to, because there's no room for that in the Austin community, musician community, for people being treated like.
And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I just saw you like defending and putting up like.
And here's the thing too. Here's the thing. I want to go and say that there's other people in that organization that has never felt that from this man.
Okay. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great.
I told him, you need the way you treat them, you need to treat everybody in the organization.
Yeah.
Because you're the CEO.
Yeah.
This is your
company.
So why don't you treat everybody else like that?
Yeah. Did he have an answer for that? Or is he like, oh,
I mean,
yada, yada.
This yeah. The other. We had that conversation. It's all good.
Let it go.
Well, the big thing about this is, you know, Austin, for all its quirks, is at its core kind of an artist town.
It is. And it's been like that.
And
since
on the artist, it's on the artist to keep these places accountable to how they treat it, to how they treat the artist. And there's a fear there, right?
Yeah.
Because like the interesting part was how many people had been treated that way and said nothing. Right.
Yeah.
And it takes like something toppling over, you know, it takes the straw that broke the camel's back. Whatever.
Absolutely.
And then all these people are like, hey, this happened to me. This happened to me. This happened to me.
Yeah.
And so that level of visibility, hopefully, and I hope this is like going forward, like this happens, is that people are aware that the artists talk to each other and that like at this point where we are in, you know, media and that like the artists have the power now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than ever.
Great. And that's that I love that.
Yeah.
I want that to be, you know. Specifically here in Austin, I want the artists to first of all have a voice.
Yeah,
because it feels like with that specific situation, that's why they were all telling me all this.
Yeah, because
but a lot of them can't say because they still work for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah. It does
suck. I do not give a
because they work for them.
I don't
work for them.
There's nothing. There's nothing holding me back.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
I think I also saw it as like I would want these artists who feel like they don't have a voice to get to where you are as far as like,
dude,
now I do have a voice.
Absolutely.
Because I get to own my craft. Yeah, yeah. I can help other people.
Yeah.
Like,
and the thing is, dude, all these musicians are f-ing killer.
Yeah.
They're great. I love everybody in that organization. Mm-hmm. You know, the people who run it, they're not my favorite.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Got you.
Yeah. That's fair.
Well, dude.
Fair.
Yeah.
We love you. We appreciate you.
Yeah,
incredible
hell yeah.
What you do.
Thank you, man.
Where can the people follow you? And in the next couple of months, like, where can people see you? Let people know where to go see you do your thing.
Where can we get foot pics?
Not pics of my feet.
MikeyFeets.com.
Yeah, dang, dude. Yeah,
his Jordan try-on page.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that I can do.
Yeah.
A whole sneaker page.
There you go.
So I guess my Instagram is Mike A. Gons. Tony always makes fun of me. He says the password, @MikeAgons on Instagram.
Heck yeah.
I post about where I'm going to play.
You play drums, right?
I do.
Okay.
I do play drums.
I think you mean percussion.
What is that?
Percussion. Is that how you say it?
Okay. This is something I have no idea what the is going on. Right?
Like, he's doing percussion like an asshole. That's what he's doing.
Percussion.
Percussion.
Oh, you're such a dick.
That was funny, though.
That was fun.
Yeah, see,
I think it went over my head, and then you started laughing because you knew exactly.
Yeah, I knew exactly what was happening.
Over your head.
It's not, you know, it's not that hard, dude, but give it up for the Short Kings. You feel
give
me?
It up for the Short Kings.
Yeah,
let's
short
go.
Kings, baby.
Come on, man.
I feel like I just make the cutoff point for that.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8", so I'm like
Just average.
I'm just average.
You're
just average.
Like I'm 5'6", so I think 5'6" is the cut.
So 5'7" would be Short King?
No,
you got to be 5'6" or below.
Yeah,
I think that's also
my opinion.
Is the average range.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm the one in the middle. I'm not a short king or an average person.
You're a duke.
I'm just unloved.
You're
just
a dude, right?
The duke of average.
Yeah.
The Earl of average.
I cry myself to sleep every night.
No.
Well, dude,
in my middle-sized bed.
In your race car
twin bed.
In my race car
twin bed. It's Lightning McQueen.
That
that was weird.
That's a brother thing.
It's a brother thing.
It's a brother thing. Awesome. There you go.
Well, dude, have Mike, a blast playing South By this week. We love you so much. Thank you, man. And
bye, y'all.